Well, the National Park Service is putting in place 81 energy-efficient and water conservation projects in parks throughout the D.C. metropolitan area. Lisa Mendelson is the acting regional director for the National Capital Region at the National Park Service. She details the scope of the project that will install new light bulbs, sprinklers, and solar power across the region's hundreds of parks and landmarks throughout 2015.
The Department of Energy actually holds the master contracts, and there are a number of large companies throughout our country who are pre-certified by the Department of Energy to be eligible to express an interest in helping federal agencies. And here in D.C., I think we had 7 or 8 agencies respond to a proposal that we put out nearly 2 years ago at this point in time. And after an evaluative process, Siemens turned out to be the company that we are now partnering with and have signed the contract with to go forward.
Because I think of the National Park Service as being primarily an out-of-doors thing. So what facilities and what does this all apply to?
Sure. Well, you know, one of the fascinating things about this, and the timing was really great for us, about 2 years ago we became aware of the ESPC program through one of our staff members who's very active in the sustainability community. And we realized that, as you point out, a lot of our things are outdoors, but we also have a lot of indoor facilities as well. We consume a lot of water, through our public restrooms, through the irrigation that we do out on the mall and in other places. And then just generally, we have display fountains and we have water fountains for folks in a lot of places. And then we also consume energy, electricity and natural gas. So we became aware of the ESPC as a potential vehicle to help us make investments in systems that would allow us to be much more efficient. You know, we're going to be efficient, as I was saying, in terms of water consumption, which is one of the major places where we're going to be saving energy. Also, our electricity consumption, our natural gas consumption, and then for the first time ever, we're actually going to be generating some solar power, which is very exciting for us. So we will be contributing to a lot of the goals that federal agencies are being asked to attain.
So does this contract also apply to water as well as electricity?
It does. That's right. It's overall consumption of utility-like things, and water and sewer certainly are utilities.
Because I think a lot of federal agencies know how to conserve electricity at this point. What are some of the techniques for reducing water other than letting the grass dry out?
Well, actually, so we're putting in low-flow toilets. You know, we have a lot of public restrooms for the public. We can put in sensors that automatically turn off hand wash stations and sinks when no one's standing there using them. We can, and we are doing some interesting work, which we don't yet have results on, but, you know, we have a number of display fountains around D.C., and we're looking at ways to be more efficient in terms of recirculating that water. And as we have done through the American Recovery Act on the National Mall, instead of using potable water, we're now using water that we are filtering that's coming from the Potomac. So there are a variety of different strategies that one can use, but certainly newer fixtures that are designed to regulate and to lower the water use while still being efficient and getting the work done, if you will, is certainly something that will be a great benefit for us. And as an example, so sprinklers over on the Ellipse in President's Park, once the new sensors are installed, the sensors will substantially reduce our water use and will only turn on the sprinklers when the grass actually needs water. So if we've had a period of rain, the sprinklers won't go on.
And you also mentioned some solar projects going on.
That's right, Tom. We're going to have 3 solar projects, at least in our first phase of the ESPC, at Manassas National Battlefield, at Monocacy National Battlefield, and at an administrative building that supports operations for the National Mall. We're going to install some photovoltaic units that will allow us to achieve about an 8% renewable energy usage for our region, and we're very excited about that.
So no windmills happening.
not at this point in time. One of our challenges is, of course, we have so many landscapes that we want to preserve the vistas as they are. So when we look for places where we can put PV or solar panels in, we want to put them in places that are not part of the landscape of the park. For example, you would not put them out in the middle of a battlefield, but you might put them on a maintenance building or an administrative building that's not in the sight of the general public, and that's exactly what we're doing.
There's 700 sites and 40 million visitors. I guess one of the big challenges is keeping everything looking spruced up.
Well, that's certainly true, and that's why, you know, our partner, the Trust for the National Mall, has been terrific in terms of helping out here in D.C., and we have partners in many of the parks around the region, and we couldn't do our work without them. And, you know, interestingly enough, the Energy Savings Performance Contract is one of those vehicles that we can use to help us get the work done. I have a very interesting career, actually. Working for the National Park Service, it's always been in the D.C. area, first at the National Mall Park, and then at our national headquarters, and now here in the regional office. But I've also served for the past 23 years as a volunteer, leading volunteer service projects across the country for other organizations on national park land. So, for example, I have a long-term relationship with Big Bend National Park in West Texas, where I've been going for over 20 years each year for a couple of weeks to do trail work or do some sort of resource work that overall has improved the park and will, in one case, lead to more wildlife being able to move through an area where we took out 100 miles of barbed wire fence. So I've done a lot of different things, sometimes as a volunteer, sometimes as an employee.
That's really interesting. So as the volunteer, you get to see the effects of the administrative work that you do at headquarters.
Absolutely.
How it works, how it plays out for the American public.
Absolutely. And, you know, and it's great, too, here in the National Capital Region where I work and then in other places out west where I volunteer, to get to know staff at all levels of the organization, to hear what's on their mind and sometimes to help clarify things in terms of how do things really work in Washington and what is the federal budget process and why do we do things the way we do things. So I enjoy helping demystify it for folks as well as serving as an ambassador for other volunteers. I've had a number of volunteers who have gone on to resource careers as a result of their volunteer work.
It seems like the Park Service is one of those agencies where people can rise very high from the career level and not always necessarily have to be a political appointee.
Well, I think that's very true, though certainly people have risen in both manners. A lot of the work that we do is somewhat unique, but there are a lot of transferable skills as well. So you might be a park ranger in Alaska, and then you might work in the Everglades, and you might work in the Midwest, and you might find yourself in a large urban area. And our mission is always the same. Sometimes the tools we use are slightly different in those different places, but the career continuum is, in my mind, just wide open for people. It's limited only by their imagination and their willingness to try new things.
And before you became acting regional director for this region, what is it you did for the Park Service?
Sure. My day job is the deputy regional director, and I've been doing that for about 8 years.
And what does a deputy regional director do?
Well, here in the National Capital Region, we've got more than 700 individual park sites, and we've got about 40 million plus visitors who come each year to enjoy nearly 90,000 acres of parkland. We have 14 superintendents who do a fabulous job of managing their parks on the ground for the public in terms of resources and greeting the visitors. And our job in the regional office is to support the parks. We do it through technical assistance. We do it through helping with the budget and policy process. We are liaisons with Capitol Hill. And so we're the interface, if you will, between the front line in the parks and headquarters operations here in Washington.